Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Persecution Bar Post-Decision Edition. Thanks for tuning in. On Tuesday, March 3rd, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Niguzi v. Holder, argued in November as Niguzi v. Mukasey. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether the persecutor bar of the Immigration and Naturalization Act prohibits the granting of asylum to those who were compelled to engage in persecution by threats of death or torture. In a decision delivered by Justice Kennedy, the court held that the Board of Immigration Appeals and the Fifth Circuit had improperly relied on Fedorenko as controlling precedent, and that the question must be addressed in the first instance by the board on remand. To discuss the decision, we bring back from our post-argument podcast on this case, Morgan Lewis partner Allison Ho. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mrs. Ho.
Chief Justice John Roberts has said that if it is not necessary to decide more, it is necessary not to decide more. The Supreme Court's recent decision in Niguzi v. Holder may be an example of that principle in action. The issue in Niguzi was one of statutory construction. The case concerned a provision of the Immigration and Naturalization Act that prohibits the grant of asylum to individuals who have persecuted others on account of their race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. The issue was whether the statute prohibits the grant of asylum to those who were compelled to engage in persecution under threat of death or torture. The facts of Niguzi are stark. At the age of 18, Daniel Niguzi was forcibly conscripted by Eritrean military forces in their long-standing war with Ethiopia. Because Niguzi was of Ethiopian heritage, he refused to fight against those he deemed his brothers. That refusal resulted in 2 years in prison. Niguzi was then directed to serve as a guard at the same prison, where prisoners were routinely tortured, even to death. The Fifth Circuit denied Niguzi asylum, concluding that under an earlier Supreme Court case called Fedorenko, the statutory language made no exception for persecution that had been coerced. Indeed, for 25 years, the Board of Immigration Appeals at the Department of Justice had interpreted Fedorenko, which held that a similar provision of the Immigration and Naturalization Act did not permit courts to consider the issue of voluntariness, to foreclose such an interpretation of the provision at issue in Niguzi. In an opinion by Justice Kennedy, the Supreme Court reversed the Fifth Circuit and remanded to the Board of Immigration Appeals. The court held that its decision in Fedorenko did not control the issue and remanded to the board to interpret the statutory language in the first instance. The Supreme Court reasoned that the ordinary deference it would accord to the board's interpretation of the statute under Chevron was not warranted because the board had incorrectly concluded that it was bound by Fedorenko. 8 justices agreed that the decision below should be reversed, but that appearance of virtual unanimity is somewhat misleading. Justice Scalia, joined by Justice Alito, concurred in the majority opinion, but wrote separately to emphasize that the court had not foreclosed the board from adhering to its prior decision on the merits by interpreting the statute to automatically bar persons like Niguzi from relief. Justice Stevens, joined by Justice Breyer, concurred in part and dissented in part. Justices Stevens and Breyer agreed with the majority that reversal was required, but disagreed that the board should have the opportunity to interpret the statute in the first instance. Instead, they would have reached the statutory interpretation issue and held that the statute does not operate to automatically disqualify from asylum an applicant who acted under coercion. They would have remanded for the board to determine such issues as how to apply a voluntariness standard, how to define duress and coercion, whether or not a balancing test should be employed, and whether a particular applicant, such as Niguzi, is covered by the statute. According to Justice Stevens, those types of issues are the type well suited to the board's expertise in administering immigration laws, in contrast to the threshold issue regarding whether the persecution bar applies more generally in cases involving duress or coercion. Justice Thomas dissented. Like Justices Stevens and Breyer, he would have reached the statutory construction question rather than remanding to the board to make that determination. But Justice Thomas would have held that the statutory language and scheme unambiguously preclude any inquiry into whether the persecutor acted free from coercion or duress. The Neguzzi case is noteworthy on several counts. On one hand, it unambiguously repudiated an interpretation of an immigration statute that had been in force for nearly 25 years and relied upon by the board, immigration judges, and several courts of appeal in countless cases denying asylum to persons implicated in the persecution of others, regardless of whether the persecution was willful, voluntary, or coerced. But on the other hand, nothing prevents the board, after examining the plain language, purpose, and history of the statute, from reaching the very same conclusion that it did in this case and in every other case involving persecution for the last 25 years, that the persecution bar applies whether or not an applicant for asylum engaged in persecution willfully or under duress. And nothing prevents the board from adopting the interpretation of the statute urged by Justices Stevens and Breyer and articulating a standard that takes coercion into account. For those reasons, the practical impact of the case remains to be seen. Applicants for asylum who may stand to benefit, depending upon the board's subsequent actions, include those who in the past would have been plainly ineligible for asylum as past persecutors. Included in that group are Iraqis who held civil service jobs during the 24-year reign of Saddam Hussein, Burmese nationals who participated in the insurgency against that country's military regime, and child soldiers from African countries such as Somalia, who were forcibly conscripted to serve in both state and opposition armies. Whatever the board decides to do, however, is surely subject to yet another court challenge. Any voluntariness standard would no doubt take years to develop and clarify through case-by-case adjudication. And of course, Congress can always act to amend the statute to achieve its preferred result. The final word on Neguzzi is that there is no final word, at least not yet.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.